Heavenly Father, so wonderful to hear the songs of Zion and know we are singing them unto you, that we have a part of you yourself and a part in your great predestinated plan. So one day is going to be God all in all when the Son hands over everything to the Father, who now we know you, great Jehovah Elohim, standing here somewhere amongst the bride, somewhere adjudicating, somewhere blessing, somewhere helping. You're here, Lord, to bring us this word as you want it, to be a people who worship you in spirit and in truth, to bring forth the resurrection and rapture. We know that to be true. What a golden hour in which you live. What a wonderful time. We pray we rejoice in this morning and have our doubts settled, any fear we might have put aside, because you've not given us the spirit of fear. And if you have not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, then you yourself, love, are here, giving us courage and a sound mind. May each one realize that, not only having passed from death unto life, but into that life of which there is the true sanity, which is the mind of God. Even as Paul said, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ. So, Father, we know that is true. We know this is a mind age. We know it is your age. We know we're part of it. May we never forget it. May we always confess it according to truth. Heal the sick amongst us, we pray, Lord. May they be healed during this service. May there be not one sick one amongst us. O God, we pray, because thou art God, and you're helping us today with all your blessing. As Brother Branham said, if you came down to curry favor the bride, how much more then, now that the bride knows her union, are you blessing her as the husband and father of that dear one? May we realize that, Lord. May we confess it, and may we live it as the Spirit of God moves in us, and we yield ourselves to you yourself, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, last night we were into the question was asked concerning active and passive faith, and as I mentioned to you, that's my own terminology. It is not Brother Branham's, and it is not scriptural, but it is given in the sense that you must understand that when something is passive, such as when you receive an injection and you're comatose, you're passive, which means that you're entirely at the will of that person. It's been seen in the case of hypnotism. Brother Branham mentioned that hypnotism was a trick of the mind, wherein a person could actually, they use the old, you know, the old pendulum idea, and they talk to you until you can go under. Now, if you think that hypnotism is not actually a trance, I got news for you. It is. Because I submitted myself one time to a man because I wanted some help. And I instantly started to go under, just right into a trance. I cut myself back. This isn't the way to go. So, what I'm telling you, and seeing with a passive faith, is why I use these words, simply not a revealed faith. Now, don't think I'm contradicting the Bible or Brother Branham. I'm using 20th century language to a people who must understand what it's all about. Because centuries ago, they understood this language. See, it's the same language, but you've got to understand it under the conditions of your education. What you've been taught, what you've been told. So passive faith is what I've been saying. You have nothing whatever to do with it, even to the receiving of it. It's somebody in control. And that somebody is God. See, that's why Brother Branham absolutely said, you need your brains baptized. He said that if 10 people are in a room or one place at one time thinking the same thoughts, as Paul said in Philippians, let this mind be in which is in Christ, but also be of one mind and say the same thing. When the bride says the same thing, and Brother Branham said, say what I say, because I'm saying what God said. This is what I'm talking about. You only come into the picture when you realize you have been given the revelation. And therefore that revelation, you use it with your worship. You use it with your conversation. You use it with your mind. It's in your heart. You're feeding the man within you by it. That's what you're doing. It's the manna sent from heaven. It's the bread of life given to you and me. And this revelation is the word of God, wherein God himself dwells, because he is the word. Brother Branham kept using that phraseology. So you cannot get away from Revelation. But what I'm trying to show you is this. This is predestination. Now, you as a vessel could say, well, Lord, why am I chosen? Well, come on. You know why you're chosen. Because election is not simply, as Brother Branham said, I'll take this one, I'll take that one. Now, remember the little joke I told you about the little kids talking. And one little girl said to the other little girl, she said, you know, I can see why it is that the doctor and his wife have all the beautiful children, because he takes his pick. See what I mean? God, the doctor didn't take his pick. He took what he got. Now, that's the same with the elect of God. God doesn't have to pick and choose. They're already chosen. They're his children. They're a part of him. When the doctor's wife chose to have a child, that did it. How the kid came forth? He can't say, well, I wish I'd have been to a lawyer's family because I'm always going out and getting drunk. At least the lawyer could have got me off the hook. No, you don't have a choice. You don't have a thing to say about it. You are simply in a pipe. Now, to recognize that then is to recognize your calling, your vocation. There's a vocation and an avocation. And I don't care what your avocation is, you can be the most wonderful person in the world as a surgeon, electrician, a plumber, a teacher, a preacher, an orator, a composer. I don't care what that is. Those are natural bents. But there's a vocation, as Paul mentioned, which is your calling. Called of God. Created unto good works. A seed which is anointed, positioned to be that child, to listen to the Father. So in all of our lives, we should put the Word of God ahead of every single thing, no matter what it is. If it looks like you're going to go bankrupt, go bankrupt and trust God. Don't try to pull a deal. If you're going to go down, go down. A righteous man will fall 7 times and the Lord will raise him up. See? You've got to understand that. I am predestinated. I am not in control. I am a vessel that cannot say to the potter, I want this and I want that. The scripture goes so far as to say, do not say I will go to town tomorrow. I will do this or I will do that. If the Lord wills, Deo volens. The old Latin phrase, DV. The woman you say to her kids, DV, DV. Well, what is DV? Deo volens. That's God willing. Submitting to the will of God is the only thing that's worthwhile. Believe me, I talk from experience. When I shunned the will of God as a minister, I got a funny life. Let's face it, my mother had an apparition appear. You're going to have a son, he's going to be a preacher. Oh God, who wants to be? I fought it, I didn't want it. I quit it. But I'm going to tell you one thing. God doesn't quit you. You know the old song that says, he doesn't compel them to go against their will, he just makes them willing to go. That's when God sent the hornets one time and Israel took flight in a hurry. So I went back to preaching. And I said, God, if I die, if I starve, there's no way out. And there wasn't. And I'm here today with a very, very satisfied life. Minuscule, yes. A drop in the ocean of God's grace and of God's service. But just the same, that drop. You don't have control. You just think you have. You don't have control now. You just think you have. That's what I'm talking about. It's over here in Romans. He says here, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed. The gospel is a revelation. It's God speaking to you that you are part of His Word, that you are part of Him. Now, you never understood these things. You, as it were, fell into it. It's just like as a child. You fall into, as you get from birth a little older, you fall into raising your head. A child almost instantly, and you should never lay a child on his stomach, for heaven's sake, put him on his back or her back. You know where you get your fabby guts from? Your fabby gut is because you lie on your stomach. Lie on your back where your feet can kick in the air and exercise the muscles of your abdomen through your system. Anybody knows that, this knows anything about physiology. But the child rolls around. That's necessary because that gets the lymph glands going to pump the impurities out. Then the next thing, it begins to crawl a little bit. Then tries to get up on the feet and stagger around a little bit. The child does that because that's in the child. It's inherent. Those are the genes of the human body and the human structure. So with the child of God, the deep calling unto the deep, as Brother Branham said. And there must be a passivity. And the passivity is, first of all, to receive the revelation. The next passivity is to obey the revelation because there's somebody higher than you telling you to do it. And when you get there, you're walking as a Christian. You better believe it. Now, it says right here, it says it's revealed. So this is a revealed faith. But the revealed faith you have nothing to do with entirely any more than your birth. You're the recipient of it. You are not only the recipient of it, you are an agent. And furthermore, I'm going to put a very crass term to it, you are a victim. I'm using that word because most Christians for much of their lives feel they're victims. Young people raised in a home, Christian parents feel they're victims because the parent says, don't do this, don't do that, do this, do this. Oh, you're victims. Snot-nosed little rebellious jerks. Now I'm getting tough and mean again, see, with my language. Don't feel too bad, it's the truth. See? Even your grown kids are pulling deals. See why? Because they think that constitutes a freedom of choice. You and I don't have a choice. We don't have a think. We don't have a thought. But look what you get for it. Huh? The New Jerusalem. Around the Lamb. Eternity. You, brother, sister, and I are missing nothing except a mess when we listen to God. Freedom is not your idea of you and me doing what we want, so everybody does what he and she wants, which ends in riot, mayhem, abuse, and God knows what. Freedom is doing right. A free person is a right person. Women's freedom. Women's freedom, what did he give them? It gave them shackles and chains and degradation until today. Brother Branham said very sternly 30 years ago, better than 30 years, the woman is the most deceived and deceiving creature in the universe. That's what he said. And he's right. Because she represents the church. And she can't get away from it, so don't try. Don't try to gloss. Don't try to equivocate. Face it. Face it. Because if you don't, you wish you had. And so will every man who doesn't understand what his authority in Christ is. And don't worry, every man that wants to be right will be hit square in the face by the women who don't understand and don't want it, like the promise keepers. Older men are very, very sure that the promise keepers wrote to put them back in rebellion, to put them in the kitchen again, barefoot and pregnant, to take away every liberty. All they want to do is to be right and keep the women right. And the women don't want it because they represent the church. And the men represent God helping them, the denomination. They're just as rotten then as the women. And the whole thing is a seething cauldron of the devil's ideas, machinations, connotations, and victimization, which is there. So, all right, passive faith is a revealed faith. You have nothing to do with it. If you asked for it, you couldn't get it if you're not seen. The best you could do would be to memorize it, to send it under a preaching ministry and go word by word, line by line, down the road, and you'd still be a failure. See, I run across so many things. Hardly use mentioning some of them, but it's a very, very pitiful situation. Now, notice what it says there in the righteousness of God revealed, as it's written from faith to faith. In other words, revelation to revelation to revelation. What is the last revelation of the bride? It is the rapture. And the rapture includes three things. Number one, the message, which, as I showed you last night, in the book of Revelation, is like unto a son of man, which is a prophet, the word of God, manifested in human flesh, revealed that year, which is the conduit that Jesus Christ himself uses, manifesting himself within the church, identifying himself, because if he was a prophet, he hasn't ceased to be prophet. He said, Brother Bailey's been elevated to priesthood. What has that got to do with it? He's still a prophet. Well, now he's mediator. That's above that. Well, does that take away his priesthood? But he's not just a priest now. A priest could mediate, but not like this one. This one presented his own blood. He's got authority over it. This one is joint heirs with Almighty God. He got half the inheritance. This one's name is equal to the Father's on the check. This one's in the adoption. You're not dealing with the sensibility. You go to the law. You're not dealing just with the law back here. It's faith to faith, my brother, my sister. And now today at the end time revelation, which is required, absolutely guarantees you that you're part of the bride, you're part of the rapture, you're part of the first resurrection. you'll be there in the millennium for 1,000 years when the temple is built, when there's a worship that you and I know not of, guaranteed to be at the white throne as attorneys, as Brother Branham said, and guaranteed to be wherever God takes us at that time after the dissolution of the heavens and the earth, and then brings us back in the New Jerusalem, where the plan of God goes on, revelation, revelation, revelation. And you and I have nothing to do with it, but because we are a part of God, we have it. We have it. That is exactly why your language and your confession is so necessary. That is why if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, and if you do not confess with your mouth and cannot confess, and you forbid others to do the same because you want a cover-up, that's okay by me. You go ahead. I will not shut my mouth. I will not cover up. I will go ahead. You see, I can't anyway. You say, Brother Bale, I know you could. You're a liar. I couldn't. When MacArthur traps the Japanese, they couldn't say the letter R. The shibboleth, you know. And I'm going to tell you, if you're a true born-again Christian, you will betray yourself. You can't help it. And if you're not, you'll fizzle. I like what Lloyd said. It's so clear, it's the best illustration ever heard. When he was told to go to Dallas and fix some electrical wrong-going or some errors in the machine, the guy handed him a book and said, read this on the way out. When Lloyd got there, he fixed it. The expert that should have known how to do it stood by, and he said, how in the world, he said, could you do that? You see, now Lloyd knew he had the guy tricked. He came back and he said, well, he said, you can fool anybody, but you can't fool anybody if you're born again and have this message. He said, because that word will trick, you can't get away from that word. You will betray yourself. You can't help it. Come to the place where you're either a make-believer or a believer. Now I'm going to tell you something. You can defend yourself. You can defend your family. You can defend your parents. You can defend your friends. You can defend anybody. And I'm going to tell you something. You are an attorney for a lost cause, and you will stand before God for having taken sides against Him. And He is the Word. Now, I'm warning you this morning, you better be very careful. You better be very careful, because it's all over. You haven't got a chance anymore to play in the ballpark of the devil. You're either in God's ballpark or you're in the devil's, one of the two. You are no longer sitting on a fence. You are no longer turning corners. You are now suspended between life and death. The gravitational pull of upward and the gravitational pull of downward. You're suspended. If you don't believe it, you just wait the next few months. It's going to happen in this world, because it's got to happen. Yeah, it bothers me. I know it bothers me. But you know something? If He wants me here, then I'm well equipped. I'm well able. It's for my glory as well as His. Because He wants to give me some of His glory. Do I want it? Can I stand still now with my vindicated faith and take the next step? The next step is a passive faith. So we go to Hebrews 11 chapter and we read the passive faith. And I use passive or revealed faith. If you prefer, use revealed faith as against unrevealed faith. Now, faith is a substance, the giving of substance to things hoped for. That's earnest expectation. The evidence of things that are not seen. Now notice what it says here. Faith is the giving of substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. In other words, he's telling you here, I'm going to list the elders and the report given because of faith. That which was revealed to them because it's a revealed faith. It's what gave them reality. Now, everybody hopes to go to heaven. Have you noticed how it is that when Michael Kennedy got killed skiing, why, they got him right into heaven. There was no problem preaching him right into heaven. Well, they said, oh, yes, now he had some problems. Even his cousin, John F. K. Jr., wrote in his magazine, George, where the Kennedy cousins were poster boys for, you know, bad doings. They were poster bad boys. Kind of raised some ruffles. But took no time at all for everybody to come and say, yes, but you didn't know the real Michael. Well, who did? His girlfriends? Sure couldn't have been his wife. The adulterous scuffball. Yeah, but you should know the good side. Yeah. Well, I guess he had a good side. I don't know. I can't see much of it. Then Sonny Bono gets killed the same way. But there came out certain things about him that were on the good side. He was very talented. I didn't know how talented he was until I picked up papers and heard the news reports and various things. I didn't know how well off he was. He made $2 million a year. I didn't know that when he went to Palm Springs and became the mayor, he turned the city right around. I didn't know he had a successful restaurant making the business he had. I didn't know when he went to Congress that even though his daughter's a lesbian, he loved her, he was plumb against abortion and lesbianism and homosexuality. And he had a heart for the underdog. Now I'm preaching into heaven, am I? No way, shape, and form. No way, shape, and form. It's just a matter of, see here, there's a report. Now, what's the report? The report is concerning the revealed faith. And there wasn't one person could say about either of those men who are very prominent, not quite the right word, in our culture, outstanding men according to society, that they could say one thing about the faith of Almighty God. They couldn't do it. They just gave some ballpark figures about them. Now notice it says here, through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now that's a revelation right there. So the rest of the scripture will go on and tell you that because of the revelation which God gave, which was due to these men because they were the children of God, then watch the response. Because of this passive faith, it spurred them into an activity. So that revealed faith is the basis for your actions if indeed you will rely upon the revelation which has been given you. Now, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Now, it doesn't say that Cain's sacrifice wasn't excellent. It says it was excellent. It had to be. Because it was literally a first fruit offering. But the first fruit offering denied what? Serpent seed. Denied that he was a child of the serpent. See? Now, Abel didn't have any problem. He knew his father and mother in sin. Was in sin. He was conceived in sin, shaped in iniquity. He says, I need it. Cain said, don't you tell me. I need it. I'm a son of God. Now, if you've never ever heard a preacher preach this way, where have you been? Why, I heard them preach this way in my 20s. I know one preacher in Canada said, don't you dare tell that person he's a sinner. Don't you dare tell that person he needs some kind of a sacrifice or blood or anything else. And why, he's a child of God. Why, I just see old Cain right there. And that preacher was a child of the devil. a son of Cain. A son of the serpent. An animal. Nothing in there from God. All right. Now, a more excellent savage king, by which he obtained witness he was righteous. By which he obtained that he was righteous. Now listen. Faith prompted him to shed blood. The action proved that he believed God in the shedding of blood. Right? So therefore, that showed his action righteous. It was based upon the word. Now, why did you take communion last night? Because you knew it took blood to get rid of your sins. That's how simple this is I'm talking about. Ain't no big mystery. No big mystery. Why do you sing praises unto God? It's in the Bible. Now by faith Enoch, now this is good for you and me. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. All right, the book of Revelation chapter 3. Oh, we're rich in Christian goods and we don't lack of things. Shut up and sit down. He said, you're filthy. You're naked. You're destitute. You're rotten to the core. And you're lifting your voice like Cain and coming against me and saying, oh, I can see I'm rich. I'm in Christian goods. I don't need this. Not pleasing to God at all. What is the message to Laodicea? Repent. Change your mind. Have a change of mind. Get your brain anointed. Get the baptism with the Holy Ghost that you think you got and you don't have. Now, Brother Branham preached to a bunch of tongues talkers. Pentecostals. And they're still in the same mode in this Branham message. They don't realize that he said, listen, the baptism with the Holy Ghost is without evidence or any sensitivity. And yet they said to him, Brother Branham, can you have to be baptized the Holy Ghost and not know it? He said, can a woman have a baby and not know it unless she's anesthetized? And there's a knowledge there. Well, I can't see it, I can't feel it, I can't smell it, it doesn't come this way, it doesn't come. What is it anyway? Ha! You forgot it! You forgot it if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the revelation. There's how you know. There's how we know each other. Now we're getting some passive faith into the active faith. I want to ask you the question. If anybody began talking to you about what we believe, or you was brought up somehow, some way, and you declared yourself, or it was brought up, and then would you not declare yourself? If you want to get in a Jim Dandy fight, you better just start talking about there's one God and it ain't three and one like machine oil on the shelf. It's one God, period, who had a son who is not God, and we'll answer that question too a little more. The Son of God, the great Son, who became flesh. And I don't know any scripture where God himself actually became flesh. He indwelt the flesh of the Son. Just the same as by the Son he created all things and now redeemed all things. And Jesus being the blood of God, thereby God shedding his blood was the blood of Jesus. And if you want to put it down to the blood of God, then you can put it down to this, the very fact that the egg and the sperm created by God, that life of God and nothing but that life was in there. And that had to be then, that body then bearing the life and the blood being the carrier, that had to be the blood of God. There's no way you can get around that. See, there's no great mysteries in the Bible anymore. Unless you want to make it that way. Unless you want to fumble around and say, well, I can't see this and I can't see that. If you just keep confessing that, you never will. You got over in your heart and said the mysteries are all revealed. What Brother Branham said, I know I can understand. It's in the Word. I'm a born-again child of God, and I speak the truth, and the truth is in me. And I can only speak the truth because that's all I know to speak. So therefore, I am in it, and I am it. Don't worry about your body. That's not the big thing. That's a minor. We're getting to the major. Okay, so Enoch had this testimony, he pleased God. So therefore the bride at the end time has got to please God. And how do you do it? Get your brains baptized with the Holy Ghost. Repent, which have a change of mind. Now you'll have people argue that because they want you to have a change of feeling. Well, fine. Let's have a change of feeling. You follow the Holy Ghost? You want a change of feeling? Put your hand in a red hot stove. Oh my God, that felt just like I felt when I was a sinner. Well, sure it does, you idiot. It's not nice of me, is it, to talk this way, but I'm going to keep talking this way. Because look, it's got to come down to the nitty gritty. It's got to come down to is you is or is you ain't. Is it or isn't it? See? It's going to come down to is a horse or is it a cow after all? Now, so you want to please God? Without faith, you can't please Him. And the Laodicean church does not have faith. I'm sorry. Without faith, you cannot please God. And the Laodicean church does not have faith. And faith starts in the mind. Faith starts with getting the vindicated word of God. Now, if you don't believe it, come on, if you don't believe it, we'll go over it again and over again till I come down and literally hit you with a club or kick you so hard you will not forget. I don't want to do either one because I don't think I could kick you hard enough because I'm too tired. So we'll let you off. Now listen, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Now this is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is simply the gospel of Christ. So this is the gospel of God. You say, Brother Bale, why? Because Jesus said, I don't have a word of my own. This is the word of God himself because it's the power of God. It doesn't say it's the power of Jesus Christ. That's the power of the cross. This set is the power of God. This is the dunamis of God. This is the dunamis of God, which means that this is the creative word. This is the powerful word. This is the word that gets things done. This is also the authoritative word. Unto salvation to everyone that believeth, but not to those who don't. Who don't believe what? Who don't believe the revelation. Who don't believe the word as it's given. You say, but Brother Bill, it's in the book, it's given. Oh, come on. Come on, come on. Didn't Cain and Abel have the same word? Well, come on. Don't. You know, don't play funny with me, kiddo. We're not here playing marbles or something. For therein, the word of Almighty God is the righteousness of God revealed. From faith to faith. Started way back in Eden, and it ends in this age when the prophet said he himself would reveal the things that were not known from before the foundation of the world. Oh, that's too much. That's too much. Well, it's not too much for me. That's the only way I ever understood Godhead. If he had not told me about the Son coming forth, I wouldn't have understood Godhead. I'd have been still crossed up between Jesus only, finally, and the Trinitarians. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold back the truth in unrighteousness. What do? They deliberately hold it back and do opposite. Muddle it, mess it up, and thoroughly confuse you. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. In other words, by even within themselves, creation and a vindicated word, God absolutely pinned it down. Absolutely pinned it down. And what did they do? They threw it away. They refused. But yet there was a seed, like Abel that took it, and went on and on and on until today. We not only have it all, we have more than all, because God has shown us those things which he showed nobody else or knew from before the foundation of the world. So now, if any people have the mind of God, we do. We have the revelation. So it says here, then, that Enoch pleased God. And what was his testimony? His testimony had to be what God gave him. Because God will accept nothing else. Even as one person said concerning prayer, prayer is giving back to God what he gave you to say to him. So everything is word. Let me tell you something. We'll get philosophical. There's only two things in this world. One is mathematics and one is word. When I'm saying that, I'm saying mathematics and word are measurements of every single thing. And there is nothing else but those two measurements. And you can go to the atom and you get right down to contents, to valence, naming every little thing until you get down to, I can't remember all the little things that are in an atom, and all the things that the astronomers and all the chemists and all the sciences found out. But you will find this, there is nothing without measurement. Nothing. Even life is measured. You're allowed 70 years, and beyond that, by reason of strength, you live, and but you will die. You will find a lot more troubles. When I turned 70, the bottom fell out. When I turned 80, the second bottom fell out. And every year, another bottom falls out. I didn't sleep last night. Don't feel too bad. The next few days, maybe a week, I'll feel so rotten I wish I were dead. But the point is this. Everything is measured. Now, when you measure something, then you have to have words to describe it. Now, God is infinite. And God is not only infinite, he's omnipotent, and he's omniscient. So therefore, he is measured. And only words can describe it. So therefore, when you have God describing to you, you have the ultimate of God in the universe. That's why this word is so utterly powerful. And if it weren't for this word, measurement would be useless. Well, come on. Be useless. Everything you knew that you could measure would die with you because you couldn't tell anybody. And if you couldn't tell anybody, there'd be no society. There'd be no family. Even your emotions are measured, highs and lows. So you're brought down to two things. This simplicity. So therefore, Enoch pleased God. Because his testimony was concerning the revelation God gave him. Now, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Now, notice, must believe that he is. Is what? So, I believe God is. Well, hey, I believe there's a doorknob out there, too. I believe without seeing there's an airplane flying, landing right there in Dayton Airport. And it's a 1,000 to 1, I'm right. And if there's not one landing, there's one taking off. If there's not one disgorging its occupants, there's one filling up. No problem. Is what? God is. Well, you see, just a minute. God. Now you got to go, what is God? Well, the definition of God is a sovereign being who does anything he wants at his own will and nobody can stop him. That's kind of a blanket, poor definition, but it's still true. Well, what about him? What does he do if he does what he wants? Does he really do everything he wants? Sure he does. I just should find out what he wants. Because, you see, he never changes. So that's why this verse follows the testimony of Enoch, because there was the revelation of God in perfection. There had to be, the same as it's the great revelation of this hour, as Brother Branham said, under the seals came forth the major revelation, the great one, which there is one God. That's why I can't figure out the Trinitarians when Jesus only and the Jesus only bunch in this message say, hey, we got her. Because they're absolutely wrong. Now it says, he that cometh to God must believe he is, and that he shall reward of them that diligently seek him. Now what is the diligence seeking? The diligent seeking is staying diligent before God with your testimony, the word of the hour. As Brother Branham told Jack Palmer, Jack, don't ask God for all kinds of things. You just live that life, which means you testify. You bring out the truth. You walk before God. You will have it. The same as a child in maturation. Starts as a baby. Wiggles, wiggles, wiggles. Turns over, turns over, turns over. Ah, so vitally needed. Then pretty soon he squirms around, gets on his knees and hands, then begins to crawl around, begins to walk around, and begins to climb around. And first thing you know, he wants the keys to your car. It's just that simple. Well, I want the keys to the kingdom myself. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen, moved with fear. Now this is for your foolish virgin. Prepared an ark for the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. They're going to up in the second resurrection. They've got a revelation of some kind. Yeah. They're children of God. They're going to make it. Now, Noah was the only true human being. The rest of them were cluttered up. So you've got a people in there that are an admixture. They're in the church. They come out of it, but they're not bride. They're part of the cloth. They're not part of the pattern. Now, I'm looking at this as type, so don't take this too seriously. I'm typing this. And I don't want my types to give a wrong doctrine, but there is a foolish virgin shot down like dogs, hunted like dogs, shot down, they're killed, they're martyred in the great tribulation because they will not worship Satan. So you see, Noah is a type of the rapture, and this would be a type of the tribulation. Because though Noah gets above it, he does not get out of it. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go into a place that he should have received an inheritance of being, and he went out not knowing whither he went. Now, that's the way faith is. It's exactly what Spurgeon said. It's my job to believe God for the impossible and leave the results up to him. That's why 20 years after his death, and you'll never find anybody telling you but me, because I read the book by the minister of Grace Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia, who knew Mr. Spurgeon very, very well. 20 years after Spurgeon's death, they were still testifying to the grace of God, miraculous, miraculous healings. He could go to an insane institution, which they were wreaking havoc, screaming everything else, and he'd start to pray, and the solemnity of God strike the place, they'd all quiet right down. Find me a man that can do that to the outside of Brother Branham. He wasn't just a silver-tongued orator and the great, tremendous preacher and teacher. He was a man of God with a revelation of revealed or passive faith, and he showed his faith by believing the Word of God and saying this, it's my job to go right down that road. Whatever God does is his business. I just know I'm going down that road. I believe, I believe, I believe. He's the man who understood predestination. He said, over the front door of the church is a sign, whosoever will may come, but over the altar hangs a sign, elect of God, foreknown before the foundation of the world. Oh, that man really had it. Yeah, oh, yes, yes, yes. By faith, Abraham went out. He came out. Like you and me, we're coming out. You say, I don't know where I'm going, Brother Bale. Neither did Abraham. Well, I just know God said there was a city out there. Now listen, that's what the Bible said he was looking for, a city. Yeah, he didn't know where he's going. But he sure knew when he'd get there. And you know what? He knew he was going to get there. You're and I the same way. We're like the horse with blinders. You ever see a horse with blinders? They have a bridle on a horse, and they put blinders on him so he can't see any way they're straight ahead. Brother Band talked about the little boy that rode the bicycle. Remember? He just looked straight ahead. The rest are going, falling on. Look straight ahead. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise. You know, that's about the stupidest place to live. A place of promise. Promises, promises, promises. That's why they sang that song, a diamond is the girl's best friend. Anybody can promise. Or what do they say? Promise or anything but give her Chanel or something? Perfume? Promises, promises, promises. You get what I'm talking about? Huh? Promises don't mean anything unless you know the promiser and you really have a covenant that he's going to come through. Abraham lived in the land of promise. You know something? He never did inherit the land. No. He came back and visited it in the first part of the first resurrection. And he said, wow, I'm stepping on it now, but I'll sure be happy when I really get it. Marching, marching, marching to Zion. He said, well, praise God, that's great, I'm part of Zion. I'm a city on the move. I'm one of the inhabitants, promises. promises. The Bible said Abraham did not inherit in the 7th chapter of Acts. He didn't have one piece of the land that his feet trod upon. But he's sure going to get it. And he had a teeny taste of it in the first part of the first resurrection. Isn't that nice? Well, you say, Brother Bill, that's nice, but what about us? I'm glad you asked that question. I really am, because I want to answer it for you. It says, for it's impossible for those who are once for all enlightened, the Laodicean church, and have tasted of the heavenly gift, ooh, yummy, and made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. That's us. That's the negative just about completely developed, and it is because he is here. He is here. Just like he was with Abraham. Hebrews 13 and 8. Well, why aren't you all running and screaming and jumping in the chandeliers? I often wonder, will they hold you? We could put up some trapeze bars. See, that's what everybody wants us to do, because I'm a teacher. I don't want it. You'd only interrupt my message. You'd only hurt everybody around you. But you see, we're dead. Because we're not screaming and running and jumping. Now, you're free to do it if you really want to do it, but I might call your bluff on the grounds that we're teaching. Pardon me. All right. Now, notice, Noah condemned the world, and Abraham showed how to walk, and his son and grandson, you notice it didn't say grandson, said son and grandson, Isaac and Jacob, heirs of the same promise, look for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. You know something? That's why Abraham is the father of the faithful, and the Gentiles are heir under him. Because we make New Jerusalem with the Old Testament saints. And remember, there are two dippers in the sky. One is the Big Dipper and one is the Little Dipper. And it's only the Big Dipper, which is the Gentile fold, that points to the North Star, which is Christ, the fixed star. Now, Brother Branham said the Bible and the star is the first Bible. I was just helping a little bit on that one. Through faith, Sarah also received strength to conceive seed. Well, would you believe it? And Sarah is our mother, New Jerusalem. Huh? We are Sarah today, who received the seed of the word in our minds and closed the womb that's going to bring Christ down to earth. And the dead up in the resurrection. Now, why aren't you screaming and running around? I'm amazed at you. Can you sit there and not scream and yell? I'm not bugging you. I'm bugging those who get this tape, because people who get this tape, they actually hate what I preach and what I say. But this does not give you cause to awaken John the Baptist in your womb, who is dead, and leap for joy. If you don't feel the Christ in you, the John the Baptist, the Holy Ghost, and he was an emissary, the one that went before the actual presentation of God, who would manifest, of Jesus, who would be the manifestation of God, or manifest God in flesh. If you can't feel that leaping in your spiritual womb, your mind, there's something wrong somewhere. I can just tell you one thing. I believe people are screaming at the wrong thing. And maybe we are not screaming at the right thing, and we should be. Perhaps that's what's wrong with this. He sojourned. He sojourned. Little journey. We've got a little journey. That's all we have here. It'll soon be over. heirs of the promise, the city whose builder and maker is God. The city whose builder and maker is God. God using the timbers, that's you and me and those that have gone before, to build this holy citadel, this great temple unto Almighty God. In other words, it's all of God. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain to build it. Through faith, Sarah received strength to conceive. Through this word, we have the strength to bring back Christ to this earth and was delivered of a child when she was past age. If you think we're not past age, there's something wrong somewhere. Because the first age could have brought him back, but the bride wasn't all in. Therefore sprang even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars in the sky, in multitude, and as the sands by the seashore innumerable. So there today, this conception, the heavenly Jerusalem, Sarah, our mother, this is an allegory, bringing forth Christ now in flesh, back to chapters 18 of Genesis. Bringing this all as Brother Branham presented it shows here that there will be a first resurrection and a second resurrection where those as the stars of the sky are the bride and the foolish virgin are the sand of the seashore. Billions for all we know. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, persuade them, embrace them, and confess they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. For they that say such things declare plainly they seek a country. Now, what are you silent for? I got a fellow, I feel so sorry for him, but he wants everybody to shut up. Oh, you can't give a revelation. Did Paul give a revelation? No, he simply declared the revelation. I don't give a revelation, I teach on the revelation. Oh, shut up, don't say a word. So he can be free to tell everybody the hogwash. When the Bible says that everything that hath breath praise the Lord, and there's only one way to praise God is to give back to him his own word in the Spirit, because you've got to worship him in spirit and in truth. So you give back the truth in the Holy Ghost, right? Then why do you keep your mouth shut? Why aren't you talking? God is listening to how you talk. Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and he is the Word. You say, how come? Because that's all you know about him. His measurement is by definition. You only know what is and who he is and how he is, where he is, what comes forth now, has, and will is by word. Then your association with God is word. And if you're off the word, you're off God. Brother Branham preached on presuming. He was 100% right. Of course he was right. How could he be wrong? Then it says, and truly, if they'd been mindful. Oh, Paul, I'm sorry for you, Paul. You're such an idiot. Why do you talk about the mind? Why do you talk about the brain? Why do you talk about talking? Why don't you shut up and be like all these guys around us? Paul, you said you were pedantic and you left it all. You're a liar. You're the same educated Sanhedrin Pharisaical skunk you always were. Shut up about the mind. Shut up about the brain. Shut up about this and shut up about that. You're just a mechanic. Well, that's the stuff I get. If I get it, why shouldn't Paul? You give me a reason. I'm trying to be like Paul, like William Branham. You're trying to do the same thing. So why? Hey, somebody's wrong. We ain't. He said, truly, if they had kept in mind that country from whence they came out, they had ample opportunity to go back. And Brother Branham said, the hole the rabbit comes out of, he seeks to go back in. Huh? Oh, my, I don't know about you, but maybe I'm just a malicious skunk. I got no ill will toward the people that are against this message as though that that I've got an actual fight with them. But the thing is, when they teach this junk, I'm not going to stand by and not warn you people. But I'll tell you one thing I've learned this, no matter how I warn you, if it's in you to go to that, you're going to go to it anyway. I should just shut my mouth and just be nice and sweet and tell you the goodies which I'm telling and leave out the other. Why bother? It's too late to warn anyway. You read in the ark, it's not going to sink. You're in a bunch of leaky boats. It's going to go down shortly anyway. It's all over. Keep in mind. Talk. Forget this. Remember that. The Bible's full of it. The Bible's full of it. You're companions of Christ on one consideration you keep in mind, you're mindful of. What is your mind full of? That's what Brother Branham warned about TV. He knew at the end time that people would be so engrossed in it, picture shows, everything else, they destroyed themselves. For his first comment was, if you get rid of the TV, get rid of your newspaper, get rid of your telephone, and everything else. Then he said, take a shotgun, blast it up. So there's the middle of the road. But what is it? What does the mind get full of? The American people are so gross today that the president can be a filthy monger, but he's doing a good job. He's not doing a good job. That started with Reagan. It had nothing to do with the Democrats. If there hadn't been a Republican Congress in there and a Senate, we wouldn't be getting our debts canceled out or anything else. And it's still a mess because they're still borrowing Social Security money and thinking and telling us that the debts are paid off. Hogwash, we're getting deeper and deeper in debt. Goody, goody, goody. When she blows up, it's gone. But listen, now here's what your passive faith and confessing it leads to. And just going down that road blindly with God. Now, there's no great exploit mentioned here. Abraham hasn't done one great exploit. Nobody has done one great exploit. They have simply gone down the road with their passive faith being now active, because the activation of the passive is seeing that holy city and saying, I'm part of it, I'm part of it, and I'm going to be there. I have to be there because God's doing it. I'm a part of it. Now, they desire a better, something better than they got. That is heavenly. And Brother Branham said, why do you take these minority things, these minor things, why do you want to settle for gifts that can be abused when the heaven's full of reality? If the heaven is full of reality, it's only full of one thing, word, 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 word. And if you go to heaven, you're going to find one thing. The ark is up there, and the ark contains the word and nothing else. There is no almond rod that blossomed, and there is no manna. It's only word. And in there, the word is overlaid by the cherubims who guard. God keeping it all. Right? Read your Bibles. They're looking for the heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. You understand that? Because you believed Him whom God sent. And you believed Him, Jesus, whom He sent. Each one like unto Him. In their measure. See? Now, it says because of this confession, blinded to everything but the truth, blinded to everything but New Jerusalem, blinded to everything but beyond the curtain of time. Where Brother Brown said, don't miss it. See? Looking at that, He's not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. In other words, they believe that He prepared it, and He said, they believe Me. That's it. He's not ashamed. Or let's go back and find something else while we're at it. But we see Jesus made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should take death for every man. That word man is not in the Bible. It's every. And the following is sons or children for every child of God. For it became him in whom are all, by who, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren. That we and he are all of God, and therefore he's not ashamed. And God is not ashamed because we say what God said. Now there is your passive faith and your testimony. And that's what's required of you. And if you say it, and you really believe it, you will walk according to your faith. Because passive faith or revealed faith is the basis of the active faith. These people would not have done what I'm going to read to you if they had not had what I'm talking about. Now, watch. We're going back to Abraham. Now he starts out. Now he's got the son, and now we're getting into something really good. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. He's giving back to God God's own promise, manifested in flesh. Can you give William Branham back to God? You say, Lord, I knew he came from you. You fulfilled your word. And whatever you do now is okay by me. God took him. We didn't believe it. But I realize, if God had not taken him, we would not be where we're at. And I say, God, like Abraham, I can say thank you for William Branham. And thank you for taking him. I'm sorry I missed so much by not knowing what I know now. But then, I wouldn't know what I know now if you hadn't taken him. Because that's life. That's the way it is. That's the way it is because that's the way it is. I'm hunching over this pulpit, because that's the way it is. I'm not standing up or sitting down. I'm hunching over the pulpit. That's the way it is. It's simple and simple. Of whom he said, in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up. And I've often said, if William Branham doesn't come back, forget it. I mean, forget it. Ain't nobody coming back on my books. Now, I've got to believe that with all my heart, or I don't really believe it. I've got to say it without wincing, equivocating, live, die. I got you over a barrel, haven't I? I know I have, because I can read my heart. When I read my heart, I read your heart. You think I'm stupid? You think your heart's different from mine? Your brain is different. Your soul is different. I got news for you. You're just as klutzy as I am as anybody else. Even Paul had doubts at times. But God doesn't. God doesn't. We're believing to the resurrection because we are part of it. Accounting God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence he received him as a figure. In other words, Brother Branham is coming back. He's got to come back. We'll be right there with him. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Jacob in worship, Joseph, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, being mentioned the departing children of Israel, and gave commandments concerning his bones, because that's where the resurrection would be. By faith, Moses, when he was born, look at, Moses is now going to get credit for what he had nothing to do with. Yeah, look at that. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. They were not afraid of the king's commandments. Now, there you are, right unto death. It could have been, it could kill Moses and kill his sister, kill the father and mother, and kill everybody. Just kill him. They said, we're not going to let him be destroyed. Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. That's the adopted son, choosing affliction with the people of God. Then enjoy the pleasures in first season. He had everything at his fingertips. There wasn't anything that was denied him. As Pharaoh's son. Grandson. Heir to the throne.
He said, forget it. Huh? What if you got a ticket? You could win the lottery. And you knew for sure you'd make $1 million. Would you spend the $20? Would you say, well, just a minute now. They gambled for Jesus' garments at the foot of the cross. I don't think I could be a gambler. Well, but $1 million, you could give 50% and God would forgive you. Oh, I thought the blood was the only source of. I didn't think money was. Well, I just become a good Catholic. I give the Pope some money too. I got news for you. The Pope can't keep you out of purgatory. He ain't going to get you out. Through faith, he kept the Passover. Hey, that's what we're doing. The sprinkling of blood. Lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. What about the people who say there's no more communion? I've been accused of that. They're liars. You well know that this church has the absolute commandment. Of course, I'm not pastor anymore. John can do what he wants. But my commandment was, if the deacons did not give you communion once a month, fire the deacons. Take it on yourself. Forget it. Ain't worth having around the place. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land. But the Egyptians tried and they drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. And they only had to do is walk around 7 times and blow the trumpets and thing fell down. Trusting God isn't a great big thing we made it out to be. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believe. While she received the spies with peace. Brother Branham said the tape voice got in there and played some tapes. What shall I say more? Time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David also and Samuel and of the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of the lion, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight. Oh, come on. That's a lot of hogwash. They didn't do that at all. God did. They just stood still while God did it. Isn't that true? That's the whole secret. Daniel never shut any lions' mouths. The three Hebrew children didn't just pop up their cheeks and blow a blast upon the fiery furnace. The wrinkles. No. Brother Branham never healed anybody in his life. But a lot of people got healing because he stood there. I used to stand there, too, and get quite a few healings, but I sure never healed anybody. If I did, I'd be healing myself. What do you think? Physician, heal thyself. Oh, brother. Yeah. Women received their dead raised to life again. They never raised any dead. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. Aha. Uh-huh. That they might attain a better resurrection. Others had trial of cruel mockings and scourging, yet more were bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, sawn asunder, were tempest, slain with the sword, went wandering sheepskin, goatskin, being tested, afflicted. There is passive faith, revealed faith, turned into dynamic, active, powerful faith that moves mountains. What you have is what I've said many times in the scripture. Jesus said, though you have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, you can move a mountain. And Paul said, though I have all faith and could move a mountain. Little faith and big faith is nothing but faith. No. There's no big people, no little people. You're just sons of God. There are just those who yield themselves to the Word of God, having had the revelation. There are just those who listen to the Word of God, and in their place, whether it be man, woman, or a child, simply believe that Word. Simply take that Word. Simply tell that Word. Simply make it their testimony, and stand with it. Confess it. And that's the truth where many times we look at dynamic faith, as we call it. And that dynamic faith is reproduces itself in healings, which is what we all want the most of. Because there are two things in life that was found out through psychologists and those who studied the human race. Number one is to be recognized to be important in the sense that you have sociability, you're part of a family, that you're part. The next thing is health. I think today the world has gone, has reversed it. They want health and then they want recognition. In other words, not a recognition is, oh, you want to be somebody amongst the somebodies, but you know you want to be familial. You want to be cherished and to cherish. My God, that's gone. Kids hate parents and parents hate kids and everybody hates each other. Nobody wants to make any change in that. So it must be health, must be number one. So you look at the dynamism of those things. But you know how people really get it? It's nothing but your passive faith. As Brother Branham said, you are healed when it has been revealed to you by God that you are healed. See? And remember, a man's belly shall be satisfied by the fruit of his lips and by the increase thereof. So your faith, which you have received, that is mental, as Brother Branham said, taken charge of by your spirit going down into your soul, becomes spiritual. And as you confess it, it now goes into from your mouth to your ears. And the hearing of your ear takes it to your brain and your spirit and into your soul, and it increases. As I've illustrated many times, the man said he went fishing. And he said, you know, that was the most beautiful trout that I caught. It was this long. And when he heard it, it sounded so good. The next time he said it, you know, that was a fabulous trout. It was this long. He got bigger. And the next time he said it, it got bigger. And pretty soon the trout was a pike or a walleye, a pike. And the next thing it was a dolphin. And the last thing it was a whale. And this is exactly the way the Word of God is. It's exactly the way anything is. The more you talk it, the more it impresses you, the bigger it gets. The fruit of the lips. So here is what these people did. They made their confession and they stood with it. And that's what you find in the early church and the second age where you had the calf, which was the martyr, age of the martyr. Where silently as a beast of sacrifice. Now today we have the battle of the mind. What are you doing with your mind? Well, Ebel's just a mental guy. Thank God I'm a mental guy. I never found where God invaded the institutions of the insane and brought out a preacher. I never found where he elevated an idiot to the priesthood. You couldn't even have a bad thumb and be in the priesthood. So much for stupidity. Do you enjoy stupidity? Do we have the role of ignoramuses? I thought my Bible said you got the Holy Ghost, you got a sound mind. I thought we got rid of fear. You're not given the spirit of fear, but of courage and love and a sound mind. There's something people are missing somewhere. Let's not equivocate. Let's not equivocate and make excuses. And try to pretend we have a dynamic of faith, apart from the revealed faith. Because the devil's got all kinds of power, and his power came from God, and he can do anything he wants with it, except certain things. Because God reserved that to himself. God reserved healing to himself because he's the healer. But he didn't deny the devil the power to use the name of Jesus Christ in the lips of the serpent seed to even raise the dead. Huh? Anointed ones of the end time. So, now, of whom the world was not worthy. Your unworthiness before the world starts with your confession of your faith, which is, it is of God, and would have to be reviled. That's where it starts. That's where the persecution is. That's where death comes in, and everything else comes in, because you dare to stand up and speak. Why were the Chinese killed at Tiananmen Square? It wasn't because they were rebellious. It's because they spoke up and then stood there and were slaughtered. Now, I'm not going to eulogize the Catholics, but I'm going to eulogize some of their nuns. Do you know that some Catholic nuns, now this is supposed to be true, and I hope it is for their sakes. But if it isn't, it's still a good moral lesson. These Catholic nuns refused to bow to the Stalinist regime. They were taken out naked and put on a barren hill of snow and ice. And next day their bodies were warm and pink and rosy, and nothing had happened. They must have had some kind of a testimony that pleased God. Now it says, the world is not worthy. They wandered in deserts, mountains, and dens, and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, receive not the promise. All they have today, every single person, Old and New Testament that have gone before us, they've just got a good report. They're waiting for us. As it says in verse 40, God having provided some better things for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. And Brother Branham put that right in this hour. And what did he bring us? The perfect revelation of the Word of God. Waiting for it. We have it. What are you doing about it? Are you trying to be some big buddy that's going to try to convert the world? What if they're all in? Brother Branham said, just before he died, he said, I made my last trip across America. I believe it's all saint out. He said, I think maybe 50 people came to the altar. I don't know if they're even saved. Maybe it's all over. You're trying to be some great big fella that thinking we're going to have great miracles, everything else? He said, that's for the Jews. That's over. That's over. Sure, we believe in healing. Certainly. We believe in many things. But you don't have to bring in the gift to do that. The Word of God was sent to heal them. A gift of healing was sovereignly given by God to Brother Branham in 1946. We don't know if anybody else has a gift of healing. I don't know. But Brother Branham could not use that gift except under sovereign dictate. But you and I can pray the prayer of faith anytime, anywhere, and believe God and say, it's in your hands, Lord. And walk away. And you know, if you really believe, the two be agreed, the motivation being right, you can be healed. I can be healed. You say, what about if that person had done something really that God has put that pressure on? Then the person won't be healed. It's all right. It's okay. It's all right. God knows what he's doing. And we have to realize God knows what he's doing. But it's our job. Spurgeon said it. Brother Branham didn't say it. But I know it was in his heart because I saw how he acted. I saw Brother Branham in action. And he was just like Spurgeon. He believed God for the impossible and then left it right in God's hands. And I want to impress you with this. And I want you to believe me because I know what I'm talking about. Brother Branham really believed God. He never, ever prayed anything but a prayer of faith. I'm telling you. I know what I'm talking about from the day that I met him personally. In August of 1953, I guess it was. He believed God. And you and I, in our own way, can do the same. All right, I'm finished. As I know that you're happy that I am. And that takes care of a long message, at least to this particular point. And I hope we can lay it to rest on the grounds of understanding. My vernacular is merely my own expression, exactly what the Bible said to the best of my knowledge, and how Brother Branham put it. So, Remember again, communion will be on Good Friday, and Brother Hall will be here, which we're very, very happy. It's impossible to express adequately our joy at him coming. I prize his friendship very, very highly, and I know that you do too, that he would come and be with us is not just a pleasure, it's a tremendous privilege and honor. And we thank him in advance, and we're just so happy about it all. So now we can be dismissed, and we have dinner waiting for us, I do believe. And communion, as I say, is Good Friday. I think about 11th, 12th, somewhere in the 11th or 12th. You know the dates anyway. And then the next month, we'll just set it back a week, like to catch up, because I felt it would be too much of a burden upon the people coming from the outside. And I know there'll be quite a large number coming from different places at Easter. They usually do. So we're going to be very, very happy to have people with us and welcome them in the spirit, I trust, of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Brother Branham always had a welcoming spirit. Very happy to see people. Very, very enjoyable. All right, let's rise at this time and be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you again for the time that you gave us together, the time, Lord, which is gathered around your word, which is loving your word and loving the people of the word, Lord. And we know, Father, that this love of this word is what inspires this love of the brethren to each other, going even beyond brotherly kindness, because now love has come down, which we know God himself has capped the bride, sealed her in, ready to take her away and deliver her from all of this world and the things of the world in a body which itself has now complete redemption, body, soul, and spirit entirely saved of you, going up to the wedding supper, coming back in the millennium. These things, Lord, we know and we confess, and we realize the more we take you literally at your word, as we have the prophet, the more the blessed Holy Spirit will release that tremendous energizing faith, revelation faith, revealed faith in us, until we are literally walking faith children, revealed children, inspired children, completely motivated of you, Lord. That better thing having come in this hour now, that even the very dead can come out of the grave, not having received this finalized promise of being all together and coming to the millennium. How wonderful it is, Lord, in this golden age, that though we have nothing really to do with it, we have everything to do with it, in that we are the last ones to come in, and the last ones now brought to a perfection through this perfecting of the blood and the word, whereby now the others can all come together. And we thank you therefore, Lord, and may we never forget it, that his salvation is of the Lord, and we are part now of the all of God. How wonderful and how blessed to realize that we'll breathe in that heavenly atmosphere, and everything will be over, but the perfections of you yourself, through the blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was both killed and crucified and killed, that we might have the light poured back upon us, binding us to you, coming forth in this resurrection. Unto thee be glory and honor and praise, thou who stands in our midst, thou who art the headstone, the capstone, thou who'st come down to bring us out of our bondage into the glorious liberty of Jesus Christ, which has not been known before, but now is known unto all the saints in this end time. Unto him, unto you, O God, be honor and glory as never before, through the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen and amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.